Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Hello and welcome to Beauty Inside Out. I'm your host, Kimberly Snyder, nutritionist, wellness expert, and author. On this podcast, I share my experiences, insights, and knowledge with you on health, beauty, personal development, and wellness. Every week, we have interviews with amazing pioneers in their fields. So joining me in the conversation every week is also my dear friend, Tony, who is a health researcher out of Stanford. Hey, beauties, welcome back. We're so excited to be here with you today. I have our amazing Tony, as always.
Hey, Kimberly.
How are you, T?
I'm fantastic.
Well, I'm so excited to talk about the topic today of how to eat plant-based at barbecues. We're getting into the heart of summertime, weekends, super fun time of the year. We're outside. We want to chill with our friends, hang out. And if we're on this path of eating lots of plant-based meals or all plant-based, we don't want to feel weird. We don't want to stand out. We want to enjoy. We want to be social. And we have some really great information for you guys on how to do just that. But before we dive in, I want to call out our fan of the day from a review over on iTunes. This is Sarah_Ashley. And she writes, delightful and educational. Kimberly Snyder is such a wealth of knowledge when it comes to living a healthy lifestyle in every possible way, nutrition, exercise, stress management, etc. I definitely enjoy listening to her show. I especially enjoy that she has a Q&A segment every Thursday where she takes the time to answer our questions. You will learn a lot from her podcast, so be sure to check them out. Sarah, thank you so much for your review. It means so, so much. Thank you for being part of our community. And remember, beauties, for your chance to be called out as the fan of the day, please be sure to leave a review on iTunes. It means so much to me. It means that we get your feedback. It means that we're able to spread the message of the show to get out to more people, to help them live their most beautiful lives as well. So again, thank you so much in advance. And before we dive in, I also want to say that if you love or hear what you think that today's topic is going to be important for others in your life, please take a screenshot now and share it on Instagram with your friends and followers. You could tag me at @_KimberlySnyder. So I know you love this topic and it helps us shape the show in the future. And the only way we can continue to help everyone live their most beautiful life is by sharing it with our amazing community. So with that being said, let's get started, T. Plant-based barbecues.
Yeah, well, this is a really, for me, this is kind of a very personal topic. Mm-mm. Because I grew up, I mentioned this before, but I grew up vegetarian, not vegan like I am now, but I was not eating, you know, traditional hamburgers or hot dogs or all that stuff as a kid. And I remember going to like barbecues or birthday parties, all these things, and then not like being able to eat the normal things and then kind of like feeling weird.
What would you eat?
Yeah, I don't know. Like it was difficult. It was really, really difficult. Like would eat before sometimes or, you know, have sides or whatever, chips or like, you know, like the non-meat things. But yeah, it was, yeah. And we were kids, like I felt it. So it's not like, I think some kids are raised vegetarian. Maybe they like eat meat when they're outside or whatever, but like we really didn't do it. And so I thought about this a lot, and then I see like things are changing. There's plant-based and like veganism is becoming so huge, but there's so many more options now than there were when I was young. And so I'm really excited kind of for people.
Right. So when I think about this, T, there's two ways you could go. One is the way of saying, well, a barbecue is a barbecue and I want to eat something that's on the grill. And so if you want to go that way, there's tons of amazing veggie burgers. There's a company that you and I both love a lot. It's called Beyond Meat. Mm-hmm. I actually tried some of their products at some of their new products at Expo West. For me, it's almost hard for me to eat because I don't like things that taste so close to meat, but they look like meat. They taste like meat. They have sausages. They have burgers. So if you're looking to grill something, and for you, it's more about, and so there's a spectrum, right? There's some people that will say, well, it's gross because it's on the grill where the meat was being cooked. Mm-hmm. You know, I've heard people say that.
Sure.
Do you think so, T, or do you think the high heat is kind of burning away any of the toxins of the meat.
Something that I had on the list to bring up. Like, ideally, maybe you'd have yours cooked first, or like.
But that's a little bit being the like
snobby vegetarian.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, it depends on the person. There's no right or wrong here. But if I'm trying not to call attention to myself or be weird, I don't know. Maybe you just kind of get in there first and do it without making a fuss.
Or kind of put it in the corner of the grill or something.
What if you're like, I got to like sponge this down and clean this part because only this is the vegan part of the grill.
You do your best. Exactly.
For me, I feel like, okay, again, the spectrum. Some people are like, well, you know, great. I'm not eating the meat. I don't care if it's on the same surface. For me, to be honest, and this is just me being completely honest, I would be there first.
Yes.
Or I show up with, you know, quinoa salads and you know, potato salad, like just sweet potato salad and all these other things that I bring where I'm not even on the grill. So that's the other route. It's like I'm not at a barbecue eating so many foods and salads and like hummus and you know, this is the time where I do splurge on chips and all these other things. So I don't care that I'm not eating the barbecue.
Yes.
But if you do know that it's going to be cooked alongside meat, maybe if that doesn't bother you, then go with the Beyond Meat. Go with all these amazing substitutes.
Yeah. One of the things I just want to point, because we've mentioned Beyond Meat a few times, one of the things I really like about their products that has been compared, because when I grew up, I had like imitation meat things, like, but they were really
more
awful.
Like Boca Burger.
They were very processed, a lot of gluten,
Morningstar.
Yeah, Morningstar, like very like just too many ingredients, like not very hard to digest.
Beyond Meat is like
It's fewer ingredients,
lentils,
it's more
pea protein.
It's pea protein based.
Yeah.
It's usually there's no gluten in any of their products. They're like shifting to using a lot of coconut oil as
they're very innovative.
Yeah. So it's really it's not just that it's a meat substitute, is that it's probably the healthiest meat substitute that's been created to date.
Wow. And where can we get it? Is it getting pretty available?
Yes.
Or to order it online?
So they're really
I saw it at Albertsons.
Yes, so they're like Target now.
Wow.
Albertsons like mainstream.
They're Target?
Yeah, mainstream stores like Walmart, I think.
Oh, not at Target, but at you're saying they're targeting mainstream
no,
stores.
No, they're in Target.
They're in Target?
Yeah, they're in Target.
Wow.
They're in a lot of mainstream groceries. Actually, they outsold, I read a stat like on their Instagram page, they, of all the beef like patties that were sold, like including just regular meat, like in some main, well, there was a mainstream grocery chain where they like out their product outsold like all like,
oh my gosh, it is catching on.
I know,
on.
It's crazy. Oh, that's my, like, so exciting.
What makes me so excited is the trends. And I, you know, we read a lot of articles about this and going to Expo West. Remember when we went to, it was everything was plant-based.
Yes.
And so we can sit here and say, yes, you know, there's still a lot of paleo floating around. But I think that's today. Tomorrow we're seeing this influx as the information gets out, not just for health and for much less toxicity in the body that comes from eating a plant-based diet, but also the impact on the environment.
Yes.
And the animals and the earth, and deforestation is happening because of free-range organic beef.
Yes.
It's just the truth. And so the more connected we feel to ourselves, to our hearts, to love and to compassion, we feel more connected to the greater whole, and we don't want to make choices that harm the environment. It just becomes this natural thing.
Yep.
And we don't judge. We don't make anyone feel bad, because everybody's on their own journey and everybody has a right to their opinion and how they see things. And if they're interested, we can certainly recommend resources such as watching the film Cowspiracy, which is a really great documentary about the environment. But when we're, you know, back to our topic, when we're at barbecues, we just have to live our truth and be who we are, and not feel weird or shamed or, you know, less than, or, you know, like we're doing something wrong by showing up with non-plant-based foods. I think this is the time to be like, hey, I'm here to chill, listen to music, have conversations, like maybe have a drink or a beer if we're down for that, or, you know, whatever's going on at your barbecue.
Yeah.
But it's not about the food being polarizing.
Yes.
So we don't create that with other people, and we also don't feel that in ourselves. We don't attract that energy.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I know it's going to vary, like where it's a little skewed here in California because it's so progressive, and I know it's different in other places of the country, but like I would say more than at any point in history, like eating vegan or eating plant-based diet is actually like cool and accepted. And like, it's the kind of thing where if you said, like, I imagine in a lot of places in the country, if you're like, oh, well, I'm actually like on a plant-based diet right now and I'm eating this or I'm trying this, people are going to be like, oh, wow, it's so cool. Like,
totally.
I'm so interested
I spent my fair share in the Midwest, as you know, in actually Missouri in St. Louis. And I've been at a lot of events where people are curious and, you know, they're eating, you know, steaks and things literally at barbecues, and I'll be eating, quinoa and salad and, you know, just totally different things, avocados, and they're open. Like people are really becoming open, and that's so amazing.
Yes.
And beautiful. But it has to come from that place of just living it, not preaching, not judging. You know, just really being that way.
Yeah.
And absolutely. So the other thing, T, is if we don't want to have meat substitutes, or let's say we're at an event and we don't want to show up with them. The other thing is just straight up grilled veggies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of barbecues, let's say they're doing like shish kebabs or, you know, whatever. We can often get a bunch of grilled peppers or kind of stack that on to, like, if we do show up with like a quinoa salad or kale salad, or, you know, I love potatoes personally. I digest them very well. So I've always been a big potato person. Mm-hmm. So like, I'm cool with potato salad, and I'll throw some grilled veggies on there and quinoa and call it a day, you know?
Yeah, that's fantastic.
So grilled veggies.
Yeah, and I know
in mushrooms, portobello mushrooms.
Yes,
tea,
exactly.
Stop.
Those are still like the best. Like, I mean, of all, like, I still see those used as a meat substitute. So even in so many places, like in, you know, that offer plant based menu, like mushroom tacos or mushroom sandwich, like
amazing. Sandwiches. Like, yeah, that's, you know, you could roll in there with portobello mushrooms, and like, again, if you're comfortable putting them on the grill, like that to me is like, I don't know who would think that's weird. Like,
yeah.
Mushrooms, they're veggies, like, you know, that's just something that people have grilled, whether they're vegan or not. Sometimes they add it on top of other things, or sometimes you just have them plain.
Yeah, exactly. And there are some examples of that in the links in the show notes that we put, because we link to like a bunch of really amazing blog posts with recipes that are very barbecue, you know, summer barbecue kind of friendly. And yeah, there's some really pretty, I know when I was doing the research, just really pretty pictures and recipes of shish, like veggie kind of shish kebabs, and also like salads and all kinds of amazing things.
Yeah. So thank you, T, for pointing that out. We have some different recipe compilations. We have a couple links to roundups, blogs that I've written for 4th of July, Memorial Day weekend, Labor Day weekend, where there's a bunch of recipes that are, you know, crowd friendly, easy to make, colorful, bright, look great on the table, filling, delicious. There's a lot of options that you can, you know, just chop salads. I mean, I keep talking about quinoa salads because they hold up really well in heat and are good, and you can mix them with different veggies and dressings. It kind of takes on anything, and they're just a great option.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I would also say kale salad, because a lot of salads can get like wilted in the heat.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But kale holds up really well, and you can add, you know, olives. You can make it sort of a Mediterranean. You can make it a summer kale salad with more tomatoes. You can do sun-dried tomatoes. You can get really, really creative.
Yeah. And I think just a point here to make is that, you know, we use the word barbecues because I think it's a very common thing in the summer, especially Memorial Day, 4th of July. But really, like, these tips and what we're talking about apply to like any kind of outdoor, typically just like, or even potluck. Like, a lot of these principles apply to a lot of different types of events. So obviously, like, it's not just a barbecue.
It's not just a barbecue, but I do think that it's a great example of a get together.
Yes.
That's traditionally centered around a food.
Yes.
We talk about this all day with Thanksgiving, right?
Yes.
It's like, as much as we say, oh, it's not about the turkey, it's not about this, people are used to equating that holiday with that food.
Yeah. And do you think, or have you found, or do you think that for some people, because like, you know, you've grown up having like all the barbecues, or like you've got family or friends that do that, that like, because there is that association with like, oh, barbecues mean eating this, that's like an impediment sometimes for them to like commit to, you know, to eating plant-based. Because like, oh, well, if I'm plant-based, then I'm not going to be able to like do this anymore.
Totally. Like, I've had clients say to me, well, what am I going to do? Like, what am I going to eat at Thanksgiving, or what am I going to eat there? Because they grew up thinking that that is the point. But I think if we take a step back and we're like, what is the purpose? Is the barbecue just to sit there and eat meat? Because if not, then if it is, then just go to the local. Wait, what are those places where they saw the meat off that big thing? What do you call those
shawarma?
Places? Yeah. Just go there. The point of the barbecue is getting together. Yes. It's connections. It's love. It's seeing people you don't get to see all the time because, you know, everybody's busy.
Yes.
It's get togethers. It's that. You know, I recently saw, not recently, you know, it was a couple months ago now, but I made a point to get together with some old friends from high school. Like, we all live in different parts of the country, and we had this picnic. And I remember I was eating, you know, what I was eating, which was basically a salad. And, you know, I had to get it at a local deli, but like a hummus wrap or something like that. And, you know, Bubby was eating his food, and some of my high school friends, they were eating these, you know, footlong sandwiches from Subway with, you know, four different kinds of deli meat and whatever they were eating. But it was like, it was amazing to be with them.
Yes.
And I guarantee they weren't focusing on what I was eating. And I noticed what they were eating, but it was just like a passing thought. I wasn't judging them. I wasn't trying to convince them not to eat that. I wasn't trying to push what I, you know, part of what I do for my career onto them at all.
Sure.
It was about, I'm so excited to see you guys. This is amazing. I think the less we make it weird too, and like, we don't show up, people can feel energy, even if we don't tune into that or not. So if we show up feeling kind of sheepish and shy and like, oh crap, I'm weird. I got my little basket here with my little stuff. And we're just like, hey, what's up? I'm so happy to see you. Just own it. Bring it. Don't feel guilty. Don't shame yourself. Don't feel weird. You should feel good that you actually are taking care of yourself and that, you know, that you're just comfortable with what you're doing for yourself and you're not trying to push that agenda on anyone else. And I think that really shines through.
Absolutely.
So amazing, T. Do you have any other tips or any other foods like you bring by? Because I know for you, T, one thing I always associate with you is I feel like you're the kraut man. Like, a lot of times you've come to my house, and that's another good tip for barbecues is like, along with your meat substitutes, like bring some raw sauerkraut. Sauerkraut is a great barbecue food.
Yeah.
It helps everything digest.
That's really fantastic. Kombucha is also really good for digestion. We've mentioned that.
It's like a nice, fun, bubbly summer drink to have.
Yeah. So that's a big one.
It's also great as a cocktail base.
Yeah.
Too.
Oh, yeah.
If you're going to have drinks, again, real life, you know, real lifestyle, it's something I've tried myself with vodka. And that way you are having, you know, something a little fizzy, a little flavor, but it's not overly sugary. And, you know, it's got some benefits.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it's funny. I think we talked about this, but I've read some recent research too. Like, mustard is actually really good for digestion. Mustard seed.
Why? Because it's warming?
Yeah, it's warming. And so it's like, it stimulates like saliva, like not just saliva, but it stimulates digestive juices too. So like, as a condiment goes, like mustard is actually like pretty good
for
digestion too. So having that, like, especially if you're having if you're having like a plant-based burger with bread or whatever, something might be a little bit heavier than what you normally like eat.
Add some mustard.
Yeah.
And
mustard
kraut.
And kraut. Exactly. You're going to make it more digestible and feel better.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, this has been so great, T and Beauties. I encourage you to check out the links to all these amazing recipes and recipe roundups that we have in the show notes so that you feel really comfortable with a wide array of recipes, ones that will really appeal to you. You can tweak them, you can make them your own, but you can roll into that barbecue with tons of amazing options. So before we sign off, I want to share, you know, every week on the show now, we want to share a tip or an idea or a quote or something that's inspiring, something we're working through personally that I think would help, you know, support you as well in your own journey. And so my tip this week, T, is about, I can't say it, you know, as succinctly as like simplify, but it's around this idea of everything has its own place.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is in my home now, I have pretty much a place for everything. When I come in, I have this little side door this little desk, and I put my car keys in there. Mm-hmm. And I come in and I have a specific hanger for my coat and a specific place for my hat and a specific place on my desk I put my computer. I found that the more everything has its own place, it really helps my mind stay decluttered. I don't spend time running around wondering where my keys are, which is what I used to do. It's just more clean and decluttered in my space. I'm able to work with more focus. And it's really important for me because there are parts of my life that are really messy. You know, Bubby is really messy. He throws a lot of food. He creates a mess everywhere. His toys are all over the place. But as much of my stuff, and again, these touch points, the parts of my life that I need my car keys. I need to know where my computer is. I need to know where my headset is, right? And in the kitchen, I don't spend an hour looking for the cumin. Like, my spices are in one place. Mm-hmm. The nutritional yeast is in one place. It's cut back on so much wasted energy and time. It's like this little system. And again, it's not for everything because Bubby is a mess. You know, my dad lives with us too, and you know, his stuff is whatever, but I can control the main things for my life, and that's really helped.
Yeah.
So it's something I've implemented in the last few months, and it's something that, you know, I don't know, T, if you have any of this. It's just in my bathroom. I know my hand goes to, like, I know where my cleanser is. I know I don't have to rummage through looking for certain things. It's been really useful to me. I keep certain essential oils in the drawer next to my bed. I know exactly where they are. The ones I like to use for sleep. Everything, as much as possible, has its own little place, and it's a huge energy saver.
Yeah, that's an amazing tip. There's so much power in that. I think even especially as a creative person, which you do so much creative work.
Yeah.
And so much of what you do, you're writing, you're speaking, like, you're doing all this. And there's this chess master named Josh Waitzkin. He kind of made this analogy about mental RAM. And when you don't have systems for things, like especially the non-creative things, those things will kind of fill up your head. And those things will reduce the space that you have in your brain, or kind of your mental kind of RAM or your capacity, basically, then to... Creativity thrives on having, like, mental space. And so if all that clutter and all those, like, little decisions and, like, those things.
Exactly. Where is that?
Then you're not going to be as creative. And for you, for everybody, I mean, we're all, especially as we're moving into the future of the world, like, we really all need to be as creative as possible.
We famously know that, or I guess maybe not everybody, but I do read a lot of, you know, business articles and journals now and everything since. Mm-hmm. You know, the main thing I really do now is as be an entrepreneur.
Yes.
It's, you know, my focus is building the business. So I, you know, with Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook, his whole closet is the same gray shirt and black pants, yes. You know, whatever. It's the same outfit a million times because he doesn't want to have to think about what to wear.
Yes.
So for me, that's not the case. I love clothes. I definitely like fashion. But again, for me, like, just having these things that go in very specific places. Mm-hmm. I do my beach walk in the morning. I don't want to have to be looking for my hat and my sunglasses. Boom. I wake up, I grab them, I go, I know where everything is. It's just great. So, you know, beauties, you listening to this, just think about, you know, maybe it's three things to start with: your car keys, your, you know, whatever, your headset, if you use that, you know, your GGS bottle or whatever it is. Yeah. And you just put a special home in your home for those objects and just notice how things start to flow a little easier. And then you can extend it to other parts, other, you know, clothes, bathroom objects, whatever, your kitchen. And especially for the person that's not used to being super organized or, you know, has a lot of cluttered stuff around, it can feel daunting to do everything. But if you just start with three things, I think that's very approachable.
Yep, I totally
agree. What about you, T? What are your three things?
One of the things, like, I've noticed is having, like, phone.
Yes.
Because obviously if your phone dies, it's in this modern world, you call, whatever, all that stuff. And so having your phone charger, like, in set places and just charging it ritually at night, like, sometimes if I forget to charge it at night, like, I've had those experiences where then, like, the next day it dies early, whatever. Like, those are just little things that, like, create drain that's so unnecessary. Like you said, if you have, like, a little ritual and, like, a consistent place for it. So that's one thing.
Yeah.
Having, like, a journal in my bed, because I've been doing more, like, internal work. And then I noticed that, like, on those kind of meditation and, like, those kinds of things, like, what kind of comes through sometimes will be for, because you're in a different state.
It you just need gets, to capture it.
Yeah, it gets forgotten. And so like having that journal next to me so that I'm just not like I'm actually capturing everything.
Amazing, T. Well, I love that. Thank you for sharing. And thank you for being with me today, T.
Thank you.
Thank awesome. You so much, beauties, for tuning in. We love being connected. I'm so grateful for you and for being part of our community. And again, just a quick call out. If you haven't yet left us a review on iTunes, please take a moment to do so today. It means the world to us. You'll get a chance to be the fan of the week. And it just helps to spread the message. It helps to get this out. So we're all here to support each other, to help each other, you know, along this path and this journey and to live our most beautiful lives. So sharing is a really beautiful thing to do. So take great care. Check out those recipes. We love you. We send you all our love, all our best, and we will see you back here on Thursday. Can healthy be delicious? With Sunbasket, the answer is yes. Forget flavorless diet food. Start cooking fresh, healthy meals with delicious organic produce with Sunbasket. They deliver delicious meal kits right to your door, making healthy cooking easy and convenient for any busy lifestyle. So I've gotten a few Sunbaskets myself. And for dinner tonight, I actually had the yuba noodles and they are amazing. And I love how everything is small portion sizes. So everything is super fresh and nothing goes bad. It really is an amazing, amazing company. They have 18 healthy options to choose from, including gluten-free, lean and clean, and vegan. Easy to cook dishes like sweet potato and black bean chili. I love how Sunbasket makes it easy and convenient to cook delicious meals at home, no matter how much experience you have in the kitchen. I also love that they have gluten-free and vegan dishes to make, as well as family options. Sunbasket works with the best farms and suppliers to bring you fresh, organic produce. And the best part is that, as I already mentioned, Sunbasket is delivered in perfect portions with reliable nutrition information, and it's ready to whip up in about 30 minutes. There's something for every healthy journey and every busy lifestyle. So again, beauties, I have to encourage you to check it out if you're struggling with shopping or just over shopping perhaps and having leftover food. Sunbasket is really, really great. I've tried a couple of their dishes and it's really, really good. So I thought it was a great option. I wanted to share it with you. And you can go to sunbasket.com/beauty today to learn more and to get $35 off your first order. That's sunbasket.com/beauty for $35 off. sunbasket.com/beauty.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 7. My trip to South Dakota was the best summer ever. Now I don't need to go to Mars because I've been to the Badlands. And I caught a bigger walleye than Dad when we went to the Missouri River. Then I rode my bike through these huge rocks called needles. Ooh, I also saw my first herd of bison, even a fuzzy furry baby one. I can't wait to go back and see more. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
If you like this podcast, then step into Heather Dubrow's world every Friday on Podcast One. Heather's talking to some fabulous guests like Queer Eye's Karamo Brown, YouTube's Mamrie Hart, and Grace Helbig, and so many more. You don't want to miss a second of it. Check out Heather Dubrow's world at Podcast One and Apple Podcasts. And please also remember to rate and review. Hey, beauties, welcome back. I'm so excited to have back on our podcast Daniel Dubron. He co-wrote the book Radiation Nation with his son, Ryan Dubron, and he's so knowledgeable about this whole topic of radiation and blue light, which affects all of us. Figuring this out is a huge part of wellness, as we're going to get into today. We can eat well, we can exercise, but if we're not really protecting our bodies from radiation, there's a very real detrimental impacts on our health, on our well-being, on our energy from this. So it's something we really need to learn about. So Daniel, thank you so much for being back with us today.
Well, thank you so much for bringing me back on your podcast. I really appreciate it, Kimberly.
What's great, since, you know, we had you on, I guess it was a couple months ago or last year, I can't remember, Daniel, but between then and now, we actually got to meet in person, which was pretty cool.
Yes, we're at the trade show.
Yeah, we met at the Expo West trade show and you guys had a really big booth and you're educating people about radiation. So I'm first of all, I'm just interested. Tell us again how you even got into this. Were you, I think you were in a different business before. How did radiation sort of become this focal point of your career?
Well, let me tell you a tiny bit of history. I'll try to be quick. Much of my career, I worked for the Bell System, and I ran the laboratories, the technical laboratories that did this, developed the standards that technology needed to meet, and then I tested against those technologies. So I had a lot of background in technology space.
Okay.
So about 6 years ago or so, Ryan, the fellow who wrote the book with me, and my other son were sitting down with their laptops in their lap. And my wife intuitively says, there's something got to be wrong with that lap so close to your groin area. And I thought about it a little bit, and I said, well, there's potential for that to be true. So I did some research, and I looked at the medical research as well as the technology research, and there was already 6 years ago pretty clear evidence that emissions that come from our mobile devices that we hold close to our bodies can be damaging to the cells and the body functions that we that are close to those devices.
It's just disrupting our biological function down to the cellular level.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And in fact, you know, we now, believe it or not, from then to now, we know what the breakdown of the cells are, and we know what the biological breakdowns are with the infrastructure systems that are operating. But so what I did was I said, well, I can build a device that can protect my sons. So
So this came from really a personal story, your sons, your wife said something. So it was really close to home.
Oh, yeah. She wanted grandchildren. We still don't have any, by the way.
Do you have two sons and daughters?
Yes, two sons, no grandchildren.
Are they married? Are they getting kind of closer that way? Or
well, they're close to it, but they are not married.
So we still have
hope.
One day, Daniel, don't put any pressure on them.
I'll try not to. So I built some devices for them because I was familiar. When I worked in labs, we had a lot of divisions, and one of them did shielding for electronic emissions, believe it or not. And so there was cable that was put between the U.S. and Europe in the 70s, and that cable needed to be jacketed with shielding so it wouldn't emit into the environment. So I was familiar with some of this stuff. And so I built my sons these devices. They started using it.
What were the devices? Was it something to cover their phone or something on their computer?
It was for the laptops.
It was like a sleeve or something.
Right. Yeah. It was like a little tray that goes in your lap, and you put your laptop top of it, and it protects the groin area, and hopefully provides us with grandchildren in the future. So
I love this motivation. It's all about you just wanted grandchildren.
Yeah, that's it. That's all I wanted. And so, but I got to tell you, even at that time, I used to study data for the Bell System, and I was pretty familiar with pretty scientific data. And I was really surprised, even back then, we knew a lot about exposure. We knew that it impacted the body and potentially in serious ways. So I built this product. My boys were using it. Their friends wanted some. I built a couple more for their friends. And then their friends wanted some more. And then we sort of decided, let me build 1,000 of them. And, you know, see what happens. And that was quite many thousands ago. And we've now built thousands and thousands and thousands of these things.
Wow. I love this story. I love how organic it is.
Oh, yeah. And but believe it or not, what also attracted me is that the public, and those who were claiming to be science experts were not. I found a lot of misinformation, and I didn't see very strong knowledge in the marketplace. And I thought at that time, this is pretty serious stuff. We really, really got in very early on trying to bring protection.
Well, you know, and you were talking about reproductive function and, you know, lowered impaired sperm, which, of course, is a very real thing. But besides that, just having these the EMF, the electromagnetic frequencies directly on our bodies, near our bodies, our cells, we know it's just literally, in a general sense, lowering our life force. It lowers our energy. It lowers our body's ability to repair. It affects our endocrine system. I think it also has an effect on our immunity. Just in so many ways, it's basically disrupting our health in general. Is that right, Daniel?
Kimberly, you just mentioned something that really caught my attention. You said your immune system is impacted, right?
Yeah.
Well, maybe 9 months ago to 18 months, I don't know, remember exactly, Dr. Ali Johansson, a fellow we work with, he's out of Sweden. He's a researcher, professor in Sweden. And through his study work, he found the mechanics of the cell breakdown. But what he also observed was the immune system suppression. It actually is suppressing the immune system. So that was only a recent sort of understanding of the problem. And it sort of describes what was informative to me, because it sort of described what we were seeing in the market. More and more people are saying, I'm bothered by this stuff when I get close to it.
And, you know, it's just amazing how far things have come in 6 years. Like you said, your company, Defender Shield, has exploded with all these different products for radiation. And we know people are very, you know, it's still emerging, of course, but people are becoming more and more aware. And now I know that you're focusing not just on radiation, but on blue light specifically, which is the type of light that's emitted from the devices. So we can say, okay, we're protecting, we're using this shield, which, by the way, I have one myself, as you know, which I love, because if I'm sitting in a chair, as I do when I'm writing, I can just stick it on the pillow that I'm resting my laptop on, and I just feel protected. I know it's a mental thing too, and I trust that it is protecting me, and it's pretty amazing. Okay, so we're protecting ourselves that way, but then the blue light is still coming out of the devices, right? So can you tell us a little bit about that and why you started shifting your focus that way?
Yeah, actually, what we tried to do over the last several years is try to provide a shielding, a protection to the body. One thing we didn't do, only till recently this past year, was we started thinking about how to protect the eye. When you think about light, light is electromagnetic radiation. It is a radio frequency signal, but it's like a radio frequency. It's like a microwave signal. It's like an X-ray. It's just in the middle of all of them. It's only something we see. But it is an electromagnetic radiation signal. And it turns out that, you know about ultraviolet light, right? So when you got ultraviolet light, you have to put something on your skin. Why? Because it impacts the melanocyte cells. And there can be some damage. And for some of us, it can be serious. But what's really, really interesting is ultraviolet light is shielded by the eye. It doesn't get through the eye. Hmm. And if you think about it, the ultraviolet light is on the higher end of the spectrum. The next highest spectrum light is blue light. And by the way, blue light is not filtered at all by the eye. Hmm. Why is that a problem? Well, because today, we sit in front of our LED screens. All this modern technology, we're looking into it all the time. LEDs, a high concentration of light. That's what it is. And it's the blue light, which is the most intense of the spectrum of light. So what happens is it goes into your eye. Well, why is that a problem? Well, you know, a lot of us, or some of us, we complain about a headache. Or we say our eyes hurt, we get tired. So what's really going on? Well, it's really, in some cases, impacting the retina. it is literally touching the retina, and it has the potential to deteriorate the retina. Macular degeneration, which is a disease of the retina regenerating worse and worse over time, it turns out that blue light has that same impact. It actually it impacts the degrading mechanisms within the light.
Mm-hmm.
What's also you were talking. You mentioned something.
You're getting so excited talking about blue light.
Yeah, I know. I really do, because it's like, you know, your sleep pattern.
It's been proven that the blue light impacts your sleep. It keeps you up if you're on your devices within an hour of bed. There's some crazy research, Daniel, which I'm sure you know about, where you sleep less, you get into REM cycles less, you're dropping into that fourth deep stage sleep stage, you know, not as deeply as you should, or the frequency and the duration is shortened. So it really has a huge impact on sleep. We know that
It's impeding melatonin.
So it's affecting your hormone.
Yeah, it's screwing around with that the whole process of melatonin. So it disrupts the sleep. And so when your kids are sitting there watching it at 11 o'clock at night, and they're supposed to be in bed by 11, they won't sleep for the next hour, as you just pointed out.
Yeah, and it's a huge, it's stimulating our brain, it's keeping us, and we know the sleep is such a huge, huge thing, Daniel. We just actually released a sleep course called the Sleep Well System, and we were talking, there's so much research we found about the blue light, again, impacting the sleep. And the problem with that is sleep is when you're regenerating, when your cells are, we need that deep sleep to just rejuvenate ourselves. And it's the time when the brain actually detoxes. And I didn't realize this, you know, a couple of years ago, but your brain actually detoxes so-called sludge. And if you're not sleeping properly, you know, day in, day out, week in, week out, year in, year out, look at the rise of all these degenerative neurological disorders, like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. I mean, it's just skyrocketing. And so sleep is so, so key on so many levels.
Yeah. Well, you know, another layer of what you just said was we talked about getting a headache. We talked about a retina deteriorating. What we're also very recently finding is your balance is impacted. Why? For the very reasons you just said. It's not just the eye that's being bothered. It's the processes that are linked to the eye and controlled by the brain that's being screwed up. So that's actually the mechanics that are occurring. And we're only beginning to understand there are Alzheimer's-like symptoms that are directly correlated to excess exposure to the blue light. So what you're saying is being proven out in recent science work that I'm aware of.
So it started with an interest in physical protection from the devices. And then once you developed products and you got really into the research and you're like, okay, we got this. Then you started going deeper and saying, well, even though we're protecting against the physical, you know, touching of the devices and having them around, then there's this issue with the blue light. So what have you done, or what have you created, or, you know, what are some things that we can do to protect against blue light? That's, you know, we're going to be on our devices. We know that for sure.
So this is a couple of things you want to think about. If you are going to be in front of a screen, a monitor, or any device that has an LED emission, you do want to try to limit it. It's sort of the recommendation is you want to stay less than 2 hours.
In a day we're going to be on most people are on computers more than 2 hours. I am.
Exactly. There's no question about it that we all fall into that category. We sit half the day looking at our screens, and that's exposures that has the function of deterioration in your body. But so you can minimize the time. Don't use it if you don't need it, which that's not going to happen very
soon. Yeah, quick. I was going to say, Daniel, like, I love that idea, but it's just not realistic. Yeah,
right, exactly.
Yeah. So
remember I mentioned to you the ultraviolet? That is microwave. And the lens can actually filter that out? Well, what we did was we found technologies that can filter out the blue light. And we created glasses. Literally, glasses that look like sunglasses, but they're not really. What they're designed to do is cut out the blue light, that part of the spectrum that is most dangerous to the body. And we're eliminating it 98% or 80%, depending on what your comfort is. But what we did was we carried out the whole product line with the intent of trying to minimize the other danger from these exposures, like we tried to do with all the devices.
Okay. So is the idea that you wear the glasses in the evening so that you're helping with sleep, or are you meant to wear the glasses all day? Or whatever, however much you can get it in, kind of?
A great question, because anytime you're looking at a device, you want to have that protection, particularly if you're using it for a long term. But what we've actually found with our research and study work we've done with this, that actually people like to wear them at night. It quiets the brain to some extent.
Oh, wow. And yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, it really does.
You're in the natural rhythm, which is something I wrote about, Daniel, to an extent in Radical Beauty, where we're meant to live by the rhythms of the sun, yes. The circadian rhythms. The sun goes down. We don't have as much. Back in the day, we didn't even have our artificial light. We might have had a fire, but then we would go to bed. And so these light glasses you're talking about helps to sort of put us back into that rhythm.
That's exactly what it's doing. And you got to remember that the technology within all of our devices, they're high intensity light emitting diodes. That's what they are. And so it's a concentration of that blue light like we've never had in our environment before. You do want to find a way. And the sleep pattern, as you were just talking about, there's no doubt it's disrupting. And as I said, in some of the trial work we've done, we've found that people like to wear them at night because it calms them down, calms the body down, and lets them transition into their sleep phase.
So this is so interesting, Daniel. So this is new information since Radiation Nation. You guys should write a new book about the blue light.
Yeah, actually, I don't know if
you're... Or updated edition or whatever.
Yeah, Kimberly, we wrote that book because I was very frustrated with the information we all had. The research knew of the dangers, yet the general population didn't. That's why we wrote the book. We wanted to make sure anybody who wanted to learn a little bit about this could go somewhere and get a sort of a reasonably comprehensive, not too technical kind of understanding.
Yeah, no, it's, problem. It's great. I've read the book myself. We'll link to it in the show notes so that if you're interested in learning, it's great sometimes where you hear something, but then when you read something, and of course I'm biased, Daniel, because I'm a writer myself, but I love to read something and then you see the research and it just backs it up and somehow it sinks into your brain. So you start to take action, or I feel like you can be inspired to take action. So some of the things you talked about, I mean, I love the idea of like we're going to be on our devices less, but I just don't feel like that's realistic. So I love that you've taken the time to create these products. I actually have the pad you're talking about.
Yes.
And I love the cover on my phone. I have the purple one. Purple is my favorite color.
Right.
I love it. And the glasses. I haven't tried the glasses yet, but I'm super interested in the concept of them.
Well, Kimberly, we're going to send you some because we're just so excited about it. That, you know, as you may remember, we try to build the highest quality product that we can build. And it took us a long time to line up the manufacturing processes to make sure we got what we needed for our client base. So we'll send you out some.
No, I love the authenticity. One of the reasons that, you know, you and I have become friends and I talk openly about your products and what you're doing is because I really do believe in you and the authenticity and the way you created this and the research and everything you put into the book and everything behind it, because it is starting to catch on. This idea of radiation, but not all these products are created equal. And there's always people trying to kind of jump on the trend and create something, but it's not necessarily of the highest efficacy. So thank you so much, Daniel, for sharing your talent and your background in manufacturing and research with us.
Oh, no problem, Kimberly. Thanks for listening. You're a partner with us that we like. People with with like minds, you know, with
help. It's about helping people's health. And like you said, healthier bodies, healthier children, healthier families. So beauties, if you're interested in, you know, checking out Radiation Nation, Daniel's book, or any of his products, which again, I can speak for personally in the Radiation Shield and the cell phone case, please check out the show notes. We're going to have direct links to the website and the book, and you can check it out there. So Daniel, thank you so much for being with us today. It was great having you.
Thanks a lot, Kimberly. I really appreciate it every time we get together. Thank you again.
Amazing. And thank you, beauty, so much for tuning in. We hope that you learned from this information, that you'll apply some of this to your own life. And if you haven't yet left a review for us on iTunes, please do, beauties. You can just leave a review right there. It helps us so much. I appreciate it so much. It helps to get the word out about the show, and other people can also benefit and increase their well-being and their health. So thank you so much. Have an amazing rest of your day, and we will see you back here on Thursday for our Q&A show. So till then, take care and lots of love. Okay, beauties, I will be back with you on Thursday for my Q&A session show, where I answer questions from the Beauty Detox community. To submit your question, please go to KimberlySnyder.com/AskKimberly. Thanks so much, and see you again soon. And always remember, progress, not perfection, as true beauty comes from the inside out.